Everyone, the time is 5:00 in the Warwick Finance Committee of the City Council is open. If I may have a motion for the acceptance of the committee for the committee meeting held on May 16th.
Second.
I have a motion, I have a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Just for record tonight, Council President McAllister is had a family emergency. So Councilwoman Travis, our pro tem, will be Council President for this evening. Thank you. PCR 68-22. Bid number one is bid 2023-030 Alpha Medical Supplies and Equipment. Chief.
There it is. Good evening. Assistant Chief Umman Howe with the Fire Department. Fire Department receives 11 bids for bid 2023-030 Medical Supplies and Equipment. Department's recommending the bid be awarded to Boundtree Medical and Stryker Sales Corporation. Boundtree Medical submitted lowest pricing on almost all the items specified, with the exception of the OEM parts bid by Stryker Sales Corporation. Bid expires on 7/20/22, and we're requesting a one-year award in an amount not to exceed $80,000.
Thank you, Chief. And this is for medical supplies and equipment that you stock in our rescues?
Correct, in the rescues and on the medical bags on all the other companies.
Thank you. And the revenue generated from the rescues, just so we understand the cost versus the revenue, is about, could you give me an idea of the three active rescues right now?
Somewhere between $3.5 and $4 million.
Thank you. And this is an $80,000 ask.
That's correct.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thanks, Chief. Just inquiring from the last time you went out to bid on these items to this time, what kind of price increases?
Yeah, so across the board, we're seeing about 10%. Personal protective equipment is one that's really high right now. It's kind of a twofold. Personal protective equipment in general is, especially gloves, which we spend a lot of money on. Protective gloves is a little bit around 10% higher, 15% higher than we saw. But during the pandemic and even a little bit post-pandemic, we were getting a lot of those personal protective equipment supplied by the state and by the federal government. So the costs didn't really affect us as much. But we don't anticipate that continuing. So the slight increase in the amount we're asking for is largely to the increase in protective equipment that we need.
Thanks, Chief. And are these, is this the vendor you, or are these the vendors that you were doing business with before, or are they new?
Yeah, Boundtree's been our primary vendor for almost as many years as I've been up here. So, you know, going on 7-8 years now. They carry almost all the equipment that we need. They always come in with the lowest price, and they're very competitive, and the vendor has a local sales representative, which is very nice to have when you're dealing with this many items.
Thanks, Chief.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hello, Chief.
Good evening.
Chief, first off, I want to extend the kudos for getting, I believe it was 11 bidders on this.
Correct. Most of them were PPE vendors that are trying to take advantage of the post-pandemic supplies that they stocked up on, but there were multiple other vendors that did bid.
Well, the encouraging thing is that there were so many people willing to submit a bid.
Correct.
I'm curious, looking through some of these numbers, why, and let me preface this by saying, you know, my position has always been anti-multiple vendors up until the pandemic. I know what it's like. I know what you're up against with product availability, costs, et cetera, deliveries. And this council has been very understanding with that and has for the past year, year and a half, have gone along with multiple vendors for those particular reasons. When you need it, you need it. You can't wait 6 months for it. So that business practice doesn't particularly apply right now. And having said that, Curious as to why you didn't include Medline as one of your vendors, as a third vendor, because when I look at a fair amount of their prices, they're cheaper than Stryker, and in some cases, they're actually cheaper than Boundtree. So we've all heard the challenges and difficulties of acquiring anything, whether it be medical equipment, computer chips, everything, tires, gas, oil, everything. Why aren't you looking for Medline to be an alternate supplier?
So a couple reasons. Boundtree, as far as supply goes, nationally is probably the leader as far as supply. So we're not concerned with their lack of being able to supply us with our demand. They're a very large company. They're a national company, and they deal with us specifically, mostly with fire departments and EMS services. Medline is more of a medical provider of just medical supplies in general to hospitals and EMS. There are some things that might be priced lower, but when it comes to Medline, they don't have any local sales representatives. So if we have questions, we have to deal with customer service headquarters. And the other reason is it's very difficult for the crews and for the EMS chief to kind of pick and choose in a bid this large. If they want to order gloves, they got to do it from this vendor. If they want to order this, they have to do it from that vendor. So when you give just a handful of things to one of the vendors out of the 300 and some odd items in the list, sometimes it gets confusing. If it's just a dollar or a couple pennies here or there, it gets confusing to which vendor I have to go to order that item. So it's sometimes a lot easier and more efficient to just pick the vendor that has the most items that are the lowest price.
So I agree with some of the things that you said. You said that, you know, this vendor, that Boundtree, been your primary vendor, Lodge, et cetera, you don't anticipate problems. I deal with some of the largest vendors in the building products industry in the country, and they have problems getting material. I have problems getting material. I've been forced to go to three and four vendors, something I've never done over the 40 some years that I've been doing this. To me, it makes sense to have, during these times, another venue for you to fall back on. If Boundtree, as an example, doesn't have the UltraCheck reusable NIBP cuff, if they don't have it and you need to get it, it would make more sense to me getting it from Medline than it would be Medline, by the way, at $938 versus Stryker at $2380. And there's, you know, numerous things through here that Medline could be an alternate source. I'm not suggesting that you bounce Boundtree and go to Medline. I'm just curious and making that suggestion to you that Medline be included as an alternate source. Why pay more from Stryker? If Boundtree doesn't have what you want, instead of going to Stryker and paying a higher price for some of these items, why not just go to Medline?
In most cases, you know, I would, and we actually enjoy the benefit of having multiple vendors to fall back on. But in this case, in my experience, I've been the EMS chief for, you know, 5 years before I've been the assistant chief for three. I'm fully confident that if Boundtree doesn't have an item, that most of the other vendors would also be out of it. They have been, even through the pandemic, they prioritize the fire department. They prioritize us as far as getting us the supplies we need. They've held things for us. When it came down to things being, you know, hard to come by and they're almost rationing out some protective equipment, they made sure that we got more than our share because of the volume that we, a business we do with them. So they've taken care of us. They've always been really good as far as keeping things in stock or getting us stuff in short order. So if I wasn't confident that they could deliver these items at the prices that they did in the bid, I would agree with you to go with another vendor. But in this case, I think they're fully, I'm fully confident that they're the only one that we would require.
So what happens if Boundtree, if there's something that you're out of and you need it, we have 9 fire stations, right? So
correct.
If Boundtree is out of something, you're saying the chances are good that Stryker and everybody else will be out of it.
That's correct. Usually it's because of a supply chain issue.
What do you do? What do you do if this Ultra Checker reusable NIBP cuff, which I don't even know what it is, what do you do if you can't get that?
Most likely we'd borrow it from another department if they had them in stock and then replenish them when we go in and came back in stock. We do a lot of mutual aid as far as equipment goes like that, especially for disposable items like this when shortages come. A lot of people have a larger stock of things, and we can call another department and see if we could utilize them until our stock came in.
So given this current climate that we have in every industry, it's not just your industry or my industry, it's every industry. Given the current climate that we have, you don't feel that it would make sense to have a third vendor available in that situation where two others don't have it?
I have no problems adding another vendor. I'm not going to disagree with you there. I don't think it's necessary. But if you feel that Medline vendor, if you would feel more comfortable adding another vendor as a primary backup, then I would have no disagreement with that.
I think that from a business perspective, particularly with the business that you're in, given this climate. Now, next year, I may say, what are you, crazy? Three vendors? But that's next year. This year is this year. Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, to benefit as an added benefit to the fire department and to the citizens of this city, I would recommend that we add Medline on to it. It doesn't hurt anything to do it. If they don't need it, they don't need it. But if they run into a dire situation where their primary source doesn't have it, and Medline is more economical than Stryker, and they can get it, why not? What does it hurt? Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions from members of the council? Thank you. Are there any other comments and questions from members of the public? Comments or questions on bid 2023-030 Alpha from members of the public? Is there a motion?
Favorable action.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, what I was going to do is wait on a motion to see if someone wanted to add the amendment, if I'd leave it to the committee. And I got a motion for favorable.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking. That's what you were asking for. No. I have, in deference to my colleague, I have no, and the chief has no opposition to adding the third vendor. Chief, am I correct with your statement that you have no objection to adding that third vendor?
Correct. I have no objection to it. It wouldn't harm us at all.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But I do have an active motion, Solicitor.
I withdraw my motion.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sure. I make a motion to amend the bid item.
PCR 7022.
It's PCR 70-22. And the
amendment is to add the third vendor as identified by Councilman Lattiser.
Medline would be Medline. The name of the company. One word. Medline.
Thank you. Is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Thank you. So we vote on that now. Yes. Okay. Thank you. So we have a motion on PCR 70-22. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. May I have a motion as amended?
I move favorable action as amended.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
So for the public, the next, we have numerous items on the bid package. What we will do now is, within the bid package, I will go to members of the committee who would like to identify items in the bid package they would like to speak of, and then I will go to members of the council, and then I will go to members of the public. And the way this works is that as you see the item, you would just call out the item you would like to speak on. And since you are the person that is requesting to speak, or members of the council that are requesting to speak, They will lead the discussion and the questions. So I will begin. I am going to request we speak on bid number four, which is bid 2023-062, City Clerk Advertising. That is found on page 181. Is there any item in the bid package members of the committee would like to discuss?
Mr. Chairman, that's actually on page 186, I believe.
Oh, thank you. My paper cut off. Thank you. I'll correct that. 186. Thank you, Councilman.
You're welcome.
Let's see, that cuts off. I can come back. Are there any items that members of the council would like to discuss in the bid package? Councilman Lattisaw. And if Councilman Lattisaw says, add another vendor, play the lottery tonight, because that's a rarity. Go ahead, Councilman.
Very funny. 2023-023A, found on page 218, quarterly fire alarm panel inspections.
Thank you. So bid number 11-2023-023-Alpha. Correct, Councilman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Item 2023-036, found on page 238, radiator manufacturer and or repairs.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Say again.
Item 2023-036, found on page 238. It's radiator manufacturer and repairs.
Thank you.
And item 2021-134, found on page 245, heating oil.
Thank you. That all, Councilman?
I could find more if you'd like.
No. No.
For right now, that'll do.
Thank you. Any other members of the council that would like to identify something in the bid package? Councilman Gebhardt?
I'm good.
Thank you. Are there any items in the bid package that members of the public would like to discuss and identify? Are there any items in the bid package that members of the public would like to identify? Thank you. So we'll begin with bid 2023-062, City Clerk Advertising. And I will yield to the city clerk to make the request.
I'm on. Okay. Requesting to amend that to 10,000. Reduce it from 17 to 10. Please. PCR 7122.
So we have a request on bid 2023-062 to add PCR 7122 to amend the amount from 17,000 and reduce it to 10,000. Is there any questions or discussion from members of the committee? Questions and discussion from members of the council. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
For this item, I'm not sure what the justification is to reduce it from. I'll try to speak closer to the mic. For this item, I'm not sure the reason for the reduction by $7,000.
Thank you, Councilman. The purpose is that in the line item, there is $10,000 in the account, correct? There's $10,000 in the account, not 17. So she's amending it so not to exceed the amount in the account.
Makes sense. Thank you.
And this is for City Clerk Advertising, and this is the amount that's expended when we have to advertise everything and anything with the city. And with the growth of the city, there's quite a bit of advertising. Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public on PCR 71-22? Thank you.
I move to amend in the amount requested.
Second.
We have a motion for PCR 71-22. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
May I have a motion as amended?
Favorable action as amended.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. The next item up for discussion in the bid package is bid 2023-023 Alpha, quarterly fire alarm panel inspections and testings. And that is found on page 218. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Councilman.
Christy, the last time we went out for bid on this, was that July of 2021? Or the last time we had a contract on this?
Yes, the current bid expires July 11th, 2020. I'm sorry. Yes, July 11th, 2022.
And these are inspections that you conduct quarterly?
Yes.
Has the prices changed from this bid to the last contract?
No, they were $50 per location per quarter on the last one.
Has the price changed in the last 2 or 3 years?
I think the last 2 years it's been $50, but prior to that, I don't recall.
because it's not something that you do yearly, why aren't you looking for a longer term on this contract?
You mean like putting it out for a 2 year bid?
Sorry?
You want us to put it out for a 2 year bid?
Well, it just seems that, you know, if you have to come back to us, you know, every year for a quarterly inspection, particularly where the numbers haven't changed and they may change. I'm just talking next time. It's here now. It is what it is.
Well, but this contract covers 1 year of quarterly inspections.
I understand.
So.
I understand. But you said that they haven't gone up on their price in at least a couple of years. We don't know what it was before. So my thought is going forward, you know, maybe you could lock them into a price for a 2 year bid, given the vulnerability of everything, including inspections. Inspections are bound to start going up because when they start paying $6-7 a gallon for gas, they're going to start looking for more money to do these inspections. So just a suggestion.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, Councilman. Questions, comments from members of the committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. The next item up for discussion is bid 2023-036. Pardon me while I turn these pages. And that is found on page 238.
Thank you, Chairman.
Councilman Lattisor. Oh, I
thank
apologize.
Thank
Councilman
you. Lattisor. Christy, we talk about this radiator bid quite a bit over the years. And has the language in the RFPs been changed at all?
Sorry? Not at all.
Not at all?
No.
Has anyone contacted some of the radiator places that used to bid on our work that don't bid on our work anymore, seeing that the specs haven't been changed at all?
This vendor is actually the only one. Well, this was the second advertisement as well, because the first time it went out to bid, we didn't receive any responses. This was the second advertisement. This vendor has been our vendor historically since I've been doing this this job. We did 1 year, bid it three times, and had reached out to vendors and still only got the same response from this vendor. So we did make the effort, but I think what we require as far as rebuilding, and our radiators are not your typical car radiators, so it's not for like smaller shops because we have heavy equipment. So this company, as far as I know, is the one locally that does it, locally being in Connecticut, but
So this bid is strictly for new product. It's not for radiator repairs.
They can rebuild them or they can recore them, but they're not. Our radiators are not the size of car radiators. The ones that we send out are, you know, probably the size of half of my desk. It's not. They're sizable. So.
So what I'm looking at here for vendor cost for radiators and coolers, that's strictly for a new item, right?
Well, yes, if they had to replace it.
Okay.
But if they can recore it, then they'll do that, which is a little less expensive.
And how do we know what we're paying for if they have to do a repair?
Our mechanics make the determination whether or not it needs to be repaired by, sometimes they can, if it's small enough, they can repair it themselves. If it's something that they can't do, we have to send it out.
That's my question. If you send it out for repair as opposed to replacement, how do we know what the cost of the repair is? Because there's nothing on here. So how do they determine what the cost of a repair is?
We work with the company. We get an estimate. They determine what needs to be done, and then they send us a quote before any work is done.
So they send you a quote on the repair before they do it?
Yes.
And then the department will make the determination whether or not it's advantageous to do the repair or make the replacement?
Yes.
And if they're doing the repair, is the repair what we're looking at in this hourly rate of $105 an hour?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Members of the committee. Members of the council, any questions, comments? Members of the public, any questions, comments? Members of the public, thank you. The next item that will be discussed is bid 2021-134 heating oil for a contract award of $57. That is found on page 245. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. This wasn't a dollar issue, why I signaled it out. But yet, $57 to a lot of the taxpayers certainly could be a significant amount of money. The reason I singled it out is this has been before us at least twice recently with this heating oil stuff for, the school there, right?
Correct.
Okay. At least twice, I think, it's been to us, maybe more. Because of missed invoices. So this is another one of those final bills. How does that get missed? How is it that no one is able to pick up on that?
It wasn't a missed bill. When this was presented, when this particular request, and we've had two different ones because we also started a new contract and we had to increase the cap on that at the time. But when these were presented to the council, I made a mathematical error. And I could have transposed numbers, and I shorted the request by $57 to get these bills paid. So we have to come back and ask for the $57 because we can't pay it because it's still over the amount that the bills are. So that was my fault.
Are all the invoices in now?
Yes.
For heating? So there are no, we're not going to see any more, money requests for.
No, this was entirely my fault. I made a mathematical error.
Okay. All right, thank you, Chairman. I'm glad to hear we're not going to have any more heating bills come through for this.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions, comments from the members of the committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. At this time, I will seek a motion for the full consent calendar.
I move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Give us one moment. We'll get started on the committee. Good to go. Good to go. Okay, So this evening is the Finance Committee agenda. If I may have acceptance for the minutes for the committee meeting held on May 16th.
Move acceptance of the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. If I may have an acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on May 23rd.
I move favorable action.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, item number one, PCR 67-22, a resolution memorializing the General Assembly to enact legislation authorizing the City of Warwick to issue not to exceed $350 million general obligation bonds, notes, and other evidences of indebtedness to finance the construction, renovation, improvement, alteration, repair, landscaping, furnishing, and equipping of two new high schools and school facilities to replace Pilgrim High School and Tollgate High School, and all attendant expenses included but not limited to demolition, engineering, architectural costs, subject to approval of the state housing aid at a reimbursement rate or state share ratio of not less than 45% at the time of the issuance, and provided that the authorization shall be reduced by the amount of certain grants received from state bond proceeds from the state of Rhode Island Department of Education or from the state of Rhode Island School Building Authority. I would like to open, before we get into the discussion, that this is a discussion of whether or not we move this bond forward to the city, I apologize, to the state General Assembly to vote on this. The logistics of the bond, the logistics of the work has already been discussed. This is to move the bond forward. We are voting whether to move the bond forward to the General Assembly so it can appear on the ballot for the voters to vote in November. So before we begin, I would ask the representative from the school department and just give us a quick overview.
Good evening, Finance Chairman Howe and members of the Finance Committee. Representatives from the Warwick School Department are here tonight to request that you support the new high school bond moving forward to the General Assembly. We are extremely concerned about the current condition of our two high schools. As you know, Pilgrim is 60 years old and Tollgate is 50 years old. These schools are obsolete and are at the end of their usefulness. So we respectfully request you move it forward.
Thank you. And if you don't mind, introduce yourself, state your name and your title. Thank you.
I apologize. My name is Lynn Danbrook and I'm the superintendent of Warwick Schools.
Thank you, Superintendent. So to start this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of change up a little, and I am going to request that public comment is the opening of discussion. Members of the council, I think we're going to have our discussion afterward, but we feel this is an important item that is being sent to the voters, that the vote, public comment. So if there's any members of the public that would like to speak on PCR 67-22, please do so by approaching. And Sergeant Lee Arms Wells has any questions, if you have any questions or concerns.
Philip Dirk Hole, Ward 4. I want to make some comments and ask some questions. Rhode Island, according to the NSA's report, is 39 out of 50 schools in the country. Warwick is ranked 31st, Pilgrim High School, and 33rd, Tollgate, out of 47 high schools all in Rhode Island. The ratio of one teacher for every 12 students, and when you add staff, that number drops to 9. The cost of education child per year in Warwick is $22,500. Question. Our town is at $350 now. But the prices escalating as they are right now, how far is that now?
So as it's stated in the, even in the PCR, Mr. Durkle, the number is variable, I would say, because we are still looking at state grants. There are possible federal grants. There's also legislation sitting in the State House now, whether to extend a five-year and numerous other grants and reductions or increases that we could look at. This is the starting point of what the school department proposed to us. We are voting today on whether to send it to the General Assembly to allow the voters to vote on it.
So if it's say $230 million or $300 million or $450 million, what do we do with the overrun? What happens to that?
You're asking me questions that is not up for discussion at this. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Question. How long building two new schools at a cost of $250 million flexible? Improve those models that I just cited with the quality of education in this state and in this city. Families with children have been filling public schools in favor of Catholic, private, and charter schools. Can you answer that question? How will the building of the building improve our quality of education? Can I have an answer to that?
I believe that is a
That's flexible as well.
I was answered by the school committee. I believe the thesis is that if you build a new buildings, it'll make the city attractive. But also it's because we have a 60 and a 50 year old building that are running on 50 in 21st century education. So there's a lot of variables that go into that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have children in the system, but I still pay taxes with a large portion going to their education. I believe there is nothing more important than the good education of our children. They are the future leaders in our community, our state, and our country. Until you can show me a plan to improve the quality of education to at least comparable to Massachusetts, which is number two in the country, I oppose PCR 67-22, as should you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, sir. Please identify
your name. Good evening. My name's Michael DeSalvia.
Good evening.
I'm in Jerry Ricks's ward. I have four questions for you, and these can all be answered by a show of hands, yes. Keep your hands down, no. On February 7th, 2022, the council voted to accept the Stage 2 application and ascended to RIDE to approval. How many members of the council had the Stage 2 documents in their possession and read them prior to taking the vote?
Sir, so I just want to take a moment to explain something. So all your comments and questions go through the chair, as this is still in committee. And there was a long process that was done. So I'll start from the beginning.
So my First Amendment right under the Constitution gives me the right to question my politician.
Well,
are you trying to take that away from me?
Sir, if I can finish my sentence, I will explain to you the process that we're doing. You are asking a question of the committee. I'm the chairman of the committee. So when you ask a question of the committee, it goes through the chairperson, so you're not necessarily directing to the council members. Any questions you have for the council members could be directed outside the chamber. What we are discussing right now is the release.
Okay, well, I'll direct them to you.
Sir, I'd like to finish my statement, please. What we are discussing now is PCR 67-22, which moves this two new school building bond to the General Assembly to vote on whether to release, to vote on to put it on the ballot in November. All the logistics and the discussion has already been done.
So should everybody know whether you know what you were reading, if you even read it at all?
That would be an understood statement.
Okay, so how many members of the council to this day, or you, sir, because you seem to be the king here.
No, sir, I'm the chairman, and I'm not going to answer that question.
I think you should move to the next question.
As of date?
Do you have any questions?
I think you should move to the next question.
Okay, fine. Can you tell me what the bond interest rate will be in 2024 when this project starts?
I couldn't understand the question. Could I tell you what, please?
Could you tell me what the bond interest rate will be in 2024 when this project starts?
I think we all know we can't.
Okay. And can you tell me specifically how much our taxes are going to be raised over this?
I don't think we can answer that. I don't. It would be something, again, so I'm going to repeat again. There are a lot of variables that play into this. The variables of the state issuing more bond assistance, the federal government giving more assistance or increased, whether it be under the environmental or as they call green, you know, the 21st century building means energy efficient building. So there's a lot of stages to go through. And what, as it read in this, whatever we get is deducted from the amount of the bond that we would take out.
Yes, I understand that totally.
So this is
just on a yearly basis. It's not one lump sum.
Yes.
So how much is the taxpayer on the hook for?
I don't think we have an exact number. There's examples. There's averages.
At the minimum, what is the taxpayer on the hook for?
Is there someone from the administration? Mr. Schaefer, the question was at a minimal, what's the taxpayer?
I transmitted, or the council president and Joanne transmitted to you my response to the resolution mm-hmm. that the council enacted in March, which looked at two things. One, what are normal costs? What is the driver of normal costs of the city budget that affect tax revenues? And the second was, what is the cost of this particular bond issue? So responding to just the second part, the cost of the bond issue.
I'm sorry. All right, Sergeant the Arms, thank you. Is it on?
I can hear you, but they're all complaining. Yeah, it's on. I'm just trying to talk a little closer, maybe.
All right. Is this better? In response to an earlier question, the assumptions in here with the interest rate was 4.5%. And by the way, I did something for you back in February working with our financial advisor, and we're using 4% at that time. Now we're at 4.5%. Interest rates have gone up substantially. But as I comment here, we sold bonds in February for under 2.5%, 20-year, a 20-year maturity level debt. So this is assuming a very conservative estimate. What we're looking at, the estimate I gave to you four months ago, was that the debt service on just this $350 million, once you issued all the debt, would be about $13.4 million. Now we're at $13.1 million. Interest rates are up. But the what we're assuming on pay-as-you-go has increased from what we were assuming. So there's very little difference in that cost. We also I also costed out the $56 million that was approved in November of 2020 that has not been issued. That will be about $2.9 million a year. And I summarized, you're not going to issue $350 million of debt 6 months after the passage of the referendum. And I look at the model of East Providence. They use what are called bond anticipation notes for almost 3 years. And just a little less than a year ago, they serialized the bonds, issued long-term debt of $120 million. But interest rates are much lower than. So that's what That's what's in the summary that was distributed to all the council members.
Yes. Thank you.
The question was, what happens to the tax rate? And I spent a lot of years on and off working on forecasting, and things change. Mm-hmm. If we had great success in our legacy costs, and we've had good investment earnings on our pension funds, we're going to have the actuary here in the fall sometime to talk about that. We've had great moderation in our health insurance costs, and I don't totally understand it. Our rates are down 1.6% this year. But as you know, we've negotiated labor cost increases of 2.5% to 3.5%, schools, municipal workers. We've had big energy cost increases. So the what I gave you had a range of what would happen in terms of surpluses and deficits, what kind of and I'd look at tax levy, not rates, because we're going to be doing, I think, 95% chance mm-hmm. next year we'll be doing executing a revaluation, so the rates aren't applicable here. But in terms of tax levy increases, it's most likely, yes, that there will be associated tax levy increases associated with the debt service that are issued, that's issued, and also associated with normal operating costs of the city. Under the best of circumstances, there wouldn't be material, but that would assuming all things work right.
So my question, my follow-up to you, Mr. Director, is that, to go on this, you said earlier that the bond, just because we approve, or this, if the voters were to approve $350 billion, yeah. It doesn't just get done up like that. No, it's a gradual pace.
The assumption I gave you was that we would issue $108 million a year mm-hmm. for 3 years beginning in 24, fiscal year 24. But the model that East Providence used for their major high school was much different. And that may be the model we go down, mm-hmm. which is use bond anticipation notes until this project completes. And that's advantageous for making sure we get all the state aid at an earlier period of time. So those are the different possibilities.
Thank you. A lot of possibilities. Oh, thank you, sir.
So there's really no definite answer to how much it's going to cost us.
Correct.
But we all know that our rates are going to skyrocket with this. That's 4%, a 4% raise, which is the maximum the city can put on a property, not going to cover it. Not going to cover it at all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Lattisor.
May we ask a question of the director on a couple of his comments?
Do you mind if we just get through the public comment? And then we can follow up with the director. He'll be here.
Some of these things might help with the public comment.
Thank you.
If the public knows.
I'd like to continue with the public comment, then we'll. Thank you.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. Maybe just to follow
up. So if I may interrupt just one moment, Mr. Cody. So the last meeting, I just want to reiterate, we're going to have a pleasant quorum. We're going to be respectful, and we're also going to have a dialogue. No yelling, nothing like that. Thank you.
And hopefully no interruptions when we try to make a good point.
Thank you.
So maybe just to expand upon what Mr. Schaefer said, I'd just like to read this paragraph that came from the latest fiscal note pertaining to the schools, and it's titled After New Debt. And this might answer Mr. DeSilva's question. Because of the phasing in of the new debt for the high schools, the full impact of the high school school bond proposal on the operating budget is not realized until fiscal year 27, when additional annual debt service costs of $13 million for the high school, in addition to the ongoing $2.9 million debt service costs on the $56 million bond, are realized. Annual deficits would be modest under the best case scenario, which assumes a 3% annual tax levy growth. As we all know, a 4% tax levy growth is the maximum tax levy by law that we can institute. So his best case scenario is assuming a 3% annual tax levy growth. Last sentence is very alarming. Under the worst case scenario, significant annual deficits reaching $50 million would result in fiscal year 27. So those are the best and worst case scenarios. But what I really want to talk about is I am not in favor of this legislation being moved to the General Assembly for the residents to vote on it for a number of reasons. First of all, I think it's kind of putting the cart before the horse because the general public has not had enough exposure to what the ramifications are of these two high school projects. As most of you know, I've come before here for years as an advocate for new schools. And being in the construction business, building new schools, I have a fair amount of expertise in that on the construction end. When the stage two application was passed on February 7th, what concerned me then was not one member of the city council had the opportunity to look at it, to go through it, and to vet it. And there, contained within there, was lots of financial.
Mr. Cody, if you could stay away from the assumptions and just, you've already stated you're against it. If you can just continue without including assumptions of the council members.
It's actually not assumptions. I have emails and.
Mr. Cody, stay away from the assumptions. Continue with your statement or your questions.
I don't understand what assumptions you think I'm making. I'm not making any assumptions. I'm speaking about fact on a document. And the fact was that.
A point of clarification, you know nothing about my knowledge to the phase two documents.
Pardon me?
You have no emails from me stating my knowledge on the phase two documents.
I didn't say you.
But you're making general assumptions, and I'm asking you.
All the members of the council.
Excuse me. Through the chair, councilman, I'm sorry. The assumptions, you're making assumptions about the council members and knowledge of this information.
So I
apologize. Please don't make assumptions.
I have specific communications with certain council members that related to me that they had not seen the stage two application. I actually got the stage two application through the APRA process, all 2,000 plus pages of it, and I went through it over a period of several days. I found some things in there to be very disturbing. One of the things that I found on page 6 of section 4 was a $50 million error in the amortization schedule.
So, Mr. Cody, I'm going to interrupt again. We had discussion and a vote on the authorization of or the construction and the items that were brought in. Now we're voting on whether this would go to the General Assembly to be voted on by the public.
Right.
So I'm just asking if you could stick to that.
So what I'm trying to do, if I'm not interrupted, is to give you the reasoning why I don't feel as though, in my opinion, that it should go to the General Assembly to be voted on. And that's what we're here to make comment on. Here's why I don't feel, as a construction professional, why this body should bring it to the General Assembly to let the voters vote on it. And those reasons are.
Mr. Cody, so a few weeks ago, we had the vote on the poll proposal. We had a presentation. They came with a presentation. We had the meeting. Now that passed. Now we're moving on to the bond.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to speak about, Mr. Howe, but whether, you just continually interrupt me. I can't get a sentence out without interruption.
Well, I'm trying to redirect you and refocus you that we're talking about sending this. So you stated you do not support sending this to the General Assembly.
And I'm trying to give you the reasons why I do not support it, but you're not letting me do that.
You have opportunities to do that. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, again, just you said you don't support it because of numerical errors. And then
Mr. Howe, you really have to let me get a sentence out. And maybe if you do, you'll understand why I don't want to support it. That's the question I'm trying to make.
We've had a very detailed system and process that we went through.
We didn't have any system where we could come before you to tell you why we either support or not support this resolution. So I'm speaking specifically on why I don't support the resolution. So you've got to let me get my point out.
But this is the resolution to send it. You're talking about stuff that was already spoken
of. No, I'm talking about sending this to the General Assembly for the voters to be able to vote on it.
So
I'm telling you why I don't think that should happen.
Numerical errors. Then continue, please.
No. It's very frustrating getting interrupted so much because you lose your train of thought. So if you bear with me.
And it is very frustrating that we are So just because you want to talk does not mean that there's a process that means it's the process that's right. I am telling you, we already went through all these. Okay. And what I'm
maybe
asking
you can tell
you
me
to,
what I'm going to say next, because I'm trying to get it out, but you just won't let me speak.
What I am asking you to do is to speak specifically. So you said that there's concerns you have. I'm asking you to tighten up and explain.
I'm trying to do that, but you actually have to let me speak. So I don't think that this should go before the General Assembly for the voters to vote on it, because the voters have not been exposed to all the facts. The voters have not seen the actual cost ramifications. The voters have not seen how a project of this magnitude on the municipality will directly affect their tax dollars. I can tell you, being involved in these projects, I'm involved in one now, it's a $293 million project of a high school. It's been under construction for 3 months. 3 weeks ago, it was $23 million over budget. As of Friday, it was $28 million over budget. The commodities escalations now are such that if you're not in the construction business, you have no concept of what's taking place in the construction business right now. And my concern is that these projects very, very seldom come in on time and on budget. And I have reviewed all the documentation, all the construction documents. I actually work with the engineers of record on this project for many, many years. And just as an example with cost estimates are changing by the week, all right? This project could expand dramatically. And the problem that we have is we're having major assumptions on the part of these fiscal notes that, well, this best case scenario, well, this is the worst case scenario. But there's no answer to that in terms of how much it affects the tax dollars of the taxpayers on their property taxes. And that's what people need to know. And I was told before that there's going to be ample opportunity to educate the public, and there's going to be meetings held in all the wards to tell them exactly what's going to take place and how we're going to move forward on this and what the financial ramifications are. But we're putting the cart before the horse. We're going to send it to the General Assembly. In my opinion, this is a default position from the council to say, hey, if this thing goes to hell in a handbasket real quick, the council can always come back and say, well, you know, we gave it to the taxpayers. They voted on it. Now, I can tell you there's a huge difference between municipality construction projects and private sector projects. And in municipality projects like this school construction, the construction managers typically have default clauses where if the project goes with cost overruns, they're not liable for that. That gets borne back to the taxpayer in a municipality project. In a private construction project, there's commodities escalation clauses, there's contracts that are signed where there's no cost overruns, you've got bean counters that look at every phase. And if you have huge cost overruns, two things usually happen: litigation with liquidated damages, and companies go out of business because there's no more money to pay for the project. In a municipality project, if this school goes over $30 million, it just gets borne back to the taxpayer. And we don't have a definitive value of what this will produce in terms of tax dollars. But I can say this from the fiscal notes that Mr. Schaefer has produced. $19.5 million, worst case scenario, on $350 million. So the city in a maximum tax increase can raise $8.6 million. Call it $9 million. His amortization schedule shows that with the reimbursement from the state, the CityWalk taxpayers got to come up with $19.5 million. So on a maximum tax increase, you raise $9 million. You've got another $10.5 million every single year that we have to come up with to pay for this. Now, it's really easy to say, well, we could have some savings here, and we could have some savings here, and we might get some more tax benefits from new construction, but that's not definitive. Those assumptions are huge. When those assumptions are being put forth to senior citizens on fixed incomes, many of those senior citizens who are facing new sewer charges, right, installation, notwithstanding, we have no idea what the bond market is going to do. And I don't know if any of you saw the report, speaking about bonds and school bonds, by JP Morgan last Thursday, JP Morgan is reallocating all their assets because they said they see a financial hurricane, an economic hurricane on the way. I can tell you now in the business that there's multiple municipal and private projects are being shelved. Projects that I've been involved in the phases, construction phases, bring them to light for a couple of years, being shelved because no one can accurately forecast what these projects are going to cost us. Now, I've been an advocate for new schools for years, and I came before this council, and I introduced several council members in the past to construction managers, clerks of the works, engineers, and so forth, and showed them, hey, here's the formula that we use. Number of students times $350 a square foot for elementary, $400 a square foot for high schools. And now it's $700 a square foot. And so everybody understands that one of my bigger concerns is that RIDE only reimburses $551 a square foot. We're estimating this project at $700 a square foot. That leaves $70 million, $70.2 million on the table. RIDE also reimburses zero for technical and furnishings. I spoke directly with Mario Carino of RIDE. Zero. That's another $12 million left on the table. So given these factors, right, we have so many assumptions that I think it would be wise. I actually think it's the duty of the legislative branch of government that until you have all these facts and this project has been defined with costs and the implication to the taxpayer, I think you can't send this to the general public. Because look, the soccer moms want a new school. I want a new school and I want new fields. But I also want to know that the 85-year-old woman on a fixed income is going to be able to stay in her home. And we don't have that data yet. It's just that simple. We don't have it. And I can ask anybody right now, anyone from the school committee, from the mayor's office, or from the finance director, or Mr. Howell, or anyone else, when we have a difference where we can raise $9 million a year on a maximum tax increase, but the school's going to cost us $19.5 million a year, where's that $10.5 million going to come from? That's what the residents of Warwick need to know before it goes on the ballot. Because when things are on the ballot, people vote by emotions. Sure, we want that new school. Everybody wants a new school, right? But the fact of the matter is the legislative branch of government is supposed to figure out the finances to see if, in fact, the city can afford it. Notwithstanding the fact that to do this, I'm sure everybody knows, or if you don't, the city actually has to raise their debt limit to be able to go out to bond. So now when we go out to bond for this with $350 million and the other 56.2, what happens if we have some type of catastrophic infrastructure failure, water department, sewer, or something
Mr.
like
Patty,
that?
Mr. Patty, I made your point. I think you said a lot of good things that you know, as far as your opinion is no, and we would like to hear from some of the other people.
And I appreciate that. Thank you for the extra time. I'll leave you with this. This is a project, and I'll say it again, I'm all for new schools, but this is a project that has the possibility of severe detrimental financial impacts for generations to come. And I only hope that everyone sharpens their pencils, they look at the projections, the cost projections, the commodities projections, and then take the time, we have plenty of time, to hold forums and educate the public so they have the facts. So when they go to the polls and they vote, they have data in which to vote for and that they're not voting with emotions. Thank you for your time.